weekend afternoon to give you guys, it's a week overdue, but we're going to give you guys kind of our recaps of kind of the teams that made the biggest moves, the biggest, I guess, wins and losses of the NFL draft from last week. Kyle, how are we doing? How are you? Are we staying sane during this crazy time? Or are you struggling?
Oh, trying my best, man. I'm struggling at this point, but you know, luckily the NFL draft happened just at the right time. And, you know, I'm excited, looking forward to sports, hopefully coming back before too long. But, hey, at least we can finally play a little bit of golf here.
Hey, yeah, that is very true. And also, I don't know if you've seen the ESPN now. At like, I'm not sure what time they're doing it, but they're showing South Korean baseball. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that should be interesting. It'll be cool to see kind of a different outlook in the world and see it, you know, stream for all of us here. But, you know, I'm just happy to see that it seems like things are a little more calm with, you know, moving forward. So who knows how long it is until the world starts, you know, hopefully recovering and getting back in the right direction. But until then, we got, you know, plenty of football to talk about, I think, you know, before the year gets started.
That we do. So we're just going to go through kind of briefly on each team, kind of their main picks, kind of what our takeaways from each team. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. They went out, they got Isaiah Simmons first round. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Who knows? What were your takeaways from that pick, Kyle?
You know, I was a little intrigued at first. You know, I completely forgot about the whole DeAndre Hopkins trade earlier and, you know, a few weeks ago. But, you know, I thought maybe they might try and get another young weapon to pair him up with. You know, Larry Fitzgerald's kind of on his last leg, it feels like. But, you know, I think what they did going out and getting Isaiah Simmons, obviously his combine was just incredible. I don't know where exactly they want to play him, but I see kind of a little similarity with, you know, Adrian Wilson that used to play there. So I think that, you know, bringing in a guy like him kind of gives you balance on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, I think this offense is already heading in the right direction. Obviously, you know, now you have Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins. You've got Kenyon Drake still in the backfield to go along with, you know, second-year quarterback. So I think their offense is in the right direction. And, you know, looking at their draft board, they really tried to shore up the defensive side of the football. And I don't blame Cliff Kingsbury and company for doing that, because they definitely need help on that side of the ball, especially in the division they're in. So, you know, I think the Simmons pick at 8 was, you know, a home run kind of hit for them. But I think he's going to be a very good athlete for them.
I also see that they got Josh Jones in the third round. That was their next pick. It's an offensive tackle from Houston. I feel like that's just kind of a move to get Kyler Murray some protection, because last year I think he had the most sacks giving up in the NFL, I believe. That offensive line was just not giving him any kind of help. And Kyler Murray being a kind of a two-weapon quarterback, you don't know if I know Cam Newton years past, he's always the one who was getting all the sacks because he was trying to get out of the pocket. So Josh Jones, I'm not sure. I haven't seen the tape on him really. I just see that he's an offensive tackle. That's kind of a spot that I needed to fill. And then late, I saw Mel Kiper's, one of his best picks, I guess. Their last pick, I don't know if it's Eno Benjamin or Eno Benjamin from Arizona State.
Eno.
I think he's Eno. He's gonna give Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake's got that spot wrapped up the way that he played at the end of last season. Now that David Johnson is gone, we'll talk about that here in a second. But Eno Johnson, or I'm looking at someone else. Eno Benjamin from Arizona State. I think he's going to give Kenyon Drake a little run for his money. I heard he's kind of a catch first running back and kind of a really good weapon out of the backfield. What are your takeaways from that one?
Yeah, I mean, seventh round, I thought that was an absolute steal, especially, you know, watching the draft and watching the tape that they had on him. You know, he just looked like he could have easily been a, you know, fourth, fifth, or sixth rounder. But, you know, you pick him up with the eighth pick in the seventh round. And now, you know, like you said, you got a very good backfield with Kenyon Drake and a guy that's kind of a burner and can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, you know, I think this Arizona team's taking the right direction. Obviously, very tough division out west. But I think, you know, especially with picks, I thought their fourth round picks in Lakey Fotu and Rashard Lawrence, great picks, I thought, on the defensive side, throwing some more defense tackles in there, getting bigger up front. You know, I think they had a very good draft.
And they went out, like we said, they got DeAndre Hopkins. That's just going to give Kyler Murray way more options to throw to. Are the Cardinals still outside looking in, do you think? Or do you think that they have enough now with the weapons that they got? Do you think that they're a team that could make a run for the NFC playoffs? I know that they're adding another seed or two this year. Do the Cardinals make any kind of run, or are they still kind of a couple years away, you think?
You know, I still think that, you know, they're flirting with a, you know, 7-9, 8-8 kind of season, just because I think Kyler Murray needs a little bit more time. But, you know, if looking at that division, it's almost a shakeup. You know, it just depends who's going to show up for 16 weeks of football next year, because, you know, with a team like San Francisco, who I feel like they've got a huge chip on their shoulder, blowing the Super Bowl lead. And then you have Seattle out there, and Russell Wilson's always dangerous. And then you have the Rams in the same division. I mean, it's not easy. So those are definitely all those games you got to go after, and you got to be ready for it. I think adding DeAndre Hopkins is a huge factor for this team, though. And, you know, I think starting to see them add more points, and hopefully this defense starting to, you know, kind of buckle down a little bit better than what they were in the past. I think that, you know, this is a team that can still kind of flirt around the 500 level, but in a division like that, it's just tough to say that, you know, they're going to get to 9 or 10 wins into an NFC playoff spot.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We're going to go over to the Atlanta Falcons. They are next on our list. They went out and got Clemson cornerback A.J. Terrell. They spent a lot of their picks, almost all their picks, but one on defense. Really, the defense is what the Falcons really do need to have a way better year. I know Matt Ryan's kind of on his, I don't know if Matt Ryan's elite anymore. He's still, I mean, his numbers last year were still incredible because of the weapons he had to throw to, but they went out, they got Todd Gurley now. Do you think Todd Gurley is more of a fit for them, or do you think Devontae Freeman was better of a fit, or do you think that the Falcons are going to be in a kind of a, I mean, they were just in the Super Bowl a few years ago, so.
I think the Todd Gurley move, especially if he's healthy, I think that makes them a lot more of a balanced offense than what they were in the past. Devontae Freeman, very good back, don't get me wrong, but I think that they used him a ton in the past game, and I feel like they were behind so much from not being able to get ahead in the chains that's why they started the year 1-7, clawed their way back to have, you know, a 7-9 record last year. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, the draft, you know, I thought was good, but you can definitely tell that they're trying to put the pieces around their head coach there. And I thought A.J. Terrell, though, was kind of a, you know, a stretch there at 16, especially with CeeDee Lamb still on the board and some other guys, because I thought wide receiver they might try and shore up and put, you know, another, you know, capable route runner on the other side and then move Ridley into the slot and kind of make that offense, you know, very dynamic. But, you know, I think Terrell's a good corner. I didn't see it at 16. I thought that was a little early for him.
Well, one of Matt Ryan's favorite targets is now on the Browns, Austin Hooper. Did they trade him, or was it a free agent signing?
That was a free agent signing.
So who did they get anyone to replace that tight end void?
They made the trade with Baltimore earlier in the free agent period, where they got, I believe, Hayden Hurst out of that deal.
Hayden Hurst, okay. So yeah. not too much of a – I mean, Austin Hooper last year was a top five most targeted tight end, so – I am kind of curious to see that division right now is getting only better with the Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, and the New Orleans is going to be elite still. I don't know quite about the Panthers, what their route they're going to be going without Cam Newton now. I don't know if it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, if it's going to be Will Greer. They went out and got the quarterback from the Houston Leathernecks. What was his name? Wilson?
Yeah.
yeah. So who knows about that division, but we're going to go over to who's your favorite pick on that team, I guess. A.J. Terrell, Marlon Davidson, Matt Hennessy, Mekhi Walker, Jalen Hawkins, and then a punter from Syracuse, Sterling Hoffpfitcher. Who's your favorite?
I thought Marlon Davidson, just because I think their defensive line, you know, their Super Bowl run was built from their defense and offensive front being able to protect and to be able to get after the quarterback. I think Marlon Davidson's a guy that really causes a stir up front, and I think that was a solid pick. You know, 15th in the second round, very solid pick, and I think that's what they need to go after. You know, shore up that defensive front, make sure that you can get some pressure on the quarterbacks, especially, you know, like you said, the quarterbacks that are in that division. When you have Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Teddy Bridgewater now, you're going to have to be able to get up the field and get after the quarterback. So I think that was probably their best pick. But, you know, like I said, I think AJ Terrell's a very good corner. I just think that, you know, that was about, you know, 5 to 10 picks a little too early for him.
Yeah, and I already saw they're not going to bring back Vic Beasley. I think he's out of his way.
I believe, did he sign with Tennessee, I think?
He might have. I know I saw on I saw a tweet that was kind of funny. Someone said the Falcons tweeted. They said Vic Beasley will not be re-signing with our team. And some guy was like, sources question mark, and they're like, literally us. we're the Falcons.
Oh, so
that
was,
I thought that'd be kind of funny. But the Baltimore Ravens, off after a incredible season, really kind of a disappointing end of their season. They went out and got Patrick Queen, J.K. Dobbins, which is probably your favorite and probably my favorite pick. I'm not sure if it's going to be your favorite pick, but I think J.K. Dobbins is just going to give. They had a lot of draft picks, man. They're going to give J.K. Dobbins is going to give Mark Ingram a run for his money. But that offense has got better. They got a lot of offensive linemen. They got a tackle, a guard. So they really filled a lot of spots that really they needed to fill. So the Ravens, what are your takeaways from their draft?
I honestly, it's hard for me to say this being a Cowboys fan, but I think the Baltimore Ravens had the best overall draft that day. Patrick Queen, first of all, at 28, absolute steal. Great linebacker out of LSU. He was really, you know, a catalyst on that LSU defense last year. Not only that, I think going out and getting a guy like J.K. Dobbins really ensures the fact that, you know, you have a young running back moving forward to put alongside Lamar Jackson. I don't think Mark Ingram is going to be there that much longer, so I think that's a great pick. And then my guy out of Texas, Devin Duvernay, great pick. 28th in the third round, great wide receiver, great deep threat for him. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting more and more weapons around a guy like Lamar Jackson. So what do they do in the sixth round? Get James Prochet, great wide receiver out of SMU, a lot of speed to go with, you know, Hollywood Brown. Now, I really think that this team went after, you know, all of their serious needs. And they got a running back, they got two linebackers, and they got some, you know, help up front to really be able to protect, you know, for the long run with Lamar behind center. So I really do. I think the players that they got fit exactly what they're trying to do there. And, you know, I'm excited to see what Lamar Jackson can do with all these weapons next year.
Yeah. But that team last year, they led the NFL in rushing yards, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah.
The good only get better, apparently, from them. The next team, the Buffalo Bills, which I honestly think have a good chance of winning their division this year with kind of the Patriots finally, the dynasty finally coming to an end. The Bills went out and got A.J. Epenesa. Thank you for that. But my big takeaway from that draft, Zach Moss with their third-round draft pick out of Utah. I watched this guy a lot last year. I had a lot of bets going with Utah, a lot of wins actually with Utah. So bless up. Thank you, Zach Moss and the boys. But Zach Moss is going to give this team a really good runner out of the backfield. Going to give Devin Singletary a run for his money as well, I think. Just kind of, I know Devin Singletary had he was a steal last year, but Zach Moss, have you seen this guy run for the Utah Utes?
Absolutely. Great running back. I was pretty impressed with the Bills. I thought they had a few other needs that they'd go after. I mean, they took a kicker in the sixth round. I thought that was extremely early. But at the same time, I mean, you get a sure thing, you know, as a backup quarterback in the fifth with Jake Fromm out of Georgia. And I didn't
– I was confused on that. I wasn't – because I thought he was going to be a guy that a team would possibly contend for a starting spot. But he's definitely going to be – unless Allen gets hurt, I think definitely Fromm will be definitely the backup. But,
you know, I think with Allen being kind of a, you know, mobile quarterback, I think they realize we need to have, you know, a good second option.
A good backup.
And I think in the fifth round to steal Jake Fromm away from anybody else, they did exactly what they wanted to do, and they found a very capable backup quarterback. But like you said, the Zach Moss pick in the third round, that was fantastic. You know, gives a little running back by committee in the backfield now with Singletary. And A.J. Epenesa, 22nd pick in the second round, I for sure thought he was going to be a late first-round draft pick. So, absolute steal in my eyes for those guys.
Do the Buffalo Bills win the division this year, Kyle?
You know, in that division, I don't see a team that's, you know, really close. I do want to see Jarrett Stidham with the Patriots. You know, give him his chance, see what happens. But, you know, I think right now on paper, especially bringing in Stephon Diggs as a, you know, another weapon for Allen there.
And their defense last year, I think, was one of the best in points against, I believe.
Yeah, so I see this team winning the division.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the next team real quick, the Carolina Panthers, we talked about them briefly a little bit ago. They went out and got Derrick Brown from Auburn, another really, really big man from Auburn that went pretty early in the draft. And they added a bunch of names late that there was one name. I'm trying to think of who it was. Well, I saw Jeremy Chinn play. I saw it in Illinois because he played ISU. But I'm trying to think of who it was that they were talking about on the draft. What do you think about the Panthers draft? I'm going
to
try to think.
Well, I mean, it's crazy to see a guy like Matt Rhule come in, you know, first year NFL head coach. And what's he do in the draft? He does nothing but ensures that, you know, his defensive front and his defensive backfield is going to be young. And bringing in Derrick Brown, Yetur Gross-Matos, you know, those are two great picks to put on your defensive front to start next year. You know, I'm happy with kind of the direction the Panthers are going. Obviously, you know, they lost Greg Olsen, but then you bring in a guy like Robbie Anderson. I just thought that, you know, maybe late they might try and get a few weapons to put around Teddy Bridgewater moving forward. But I think that's just a question mark to be seen here later.
I just don't know, like, can Christian McCaffrey continue to do what he did last year? Because it's crazy. The dude did not take downs off. Like, if he was not injured, he was in the game.
He was basically, I think, 62% of their offense last year, too. So, it really makes you wonder, you know, how much can he take over a full NFL season again? But, you know, until he kind of proves us wrong, then, you know, keep feeding him the ball and see what he can do. But their defense needed a ton of help. So, I have no issue with them going strictly for, you know, defensive line and defensive backfield right now because it was a disaster last year.
Yeah, and it's kind of – I'm looking down the list right here, and there was no offensive players drafted. A little side note, I'm looking real quick at this. Did you see that the LSU Tigers, their whole offense either got drafted or got picked up as an undrafted free agent?
No, it was both sides, offense and defensive side.
Offense and defense.
If they were draft eligible, were all drafted. That is just incredible. But it goes to show that
shows really what they did.
That team had nothing but athletes last year, and they were deserving to be national champions at the end of the year.
Yeah. So next up, the Cincinnati Bengals. I would say, out of all the teams, I would say they're a top five or top three.
Are you just going to skip over your Bears like that? You don't want to talk about them?
I didn't think about the alphabetical order. I had the Bears at the first of my list because it shows your favorite team, and then I was just going to plug them in after. I didn't think about – well, we'll plug them in after. We'll go before the Browns. So the Bengals, Joe Burrow, number one overall, T. Higgins, they gave him Joe Burrow a good weapon that if A.J. Green is not healthy or if he's not with the Bengals anymore, T. Higgins could compete for that number two spot with Tyler Boyd. I'm not sure what their tight end situation is going to be, but they went out and got Logan Wilson from Wyoming, third round. Then they got a bunch of – so Wyoming and Appalachian State, both – and Kansas, not really known football colleges. They're kind of a little bit confusing, but they got their guy for the future. They got the guy that they wanted to throw to for T. Higgins. What do you think about the –
I thought their first four picks were all home runs, and I thought they did great. But I thought at some point in this draft they were really going to ensure the fact that Joe Burrow wasn't going to end up on his back as much as what, you know, the quarterbacks did last year. They go out and get the, you know, offensive tackle out of Kansas in the sixth round. But outside of that, they didn't address one of their biggest needs in offensive line. And
you can – I mean, any NFL fan can tell you that the Bengals the last – this team just 5 years ago was an elite team, and the last couple of years that they can't keep their quarterbacks healthy because of, like you just said, the offensive line. It is going to be kind of I don't know if Joe Burrow was the number one, if he's going to be the number one talent in a couple of years out of this draft. I'm not sure. Tua could be the guy if he stays healthy. Could be Herbert. I'm not sure exactly if Joe Burrow, he has all the weapons, I know, but he he just kind of came into the spotlight last year, and I just don't know if it's we'll see. But I think T. Higgins with that pick in the second round, I think he's going to get – I think that's a great pickup. And like I said, I'm not sure what their tight end situation is now because Eifert's out. I'm not sure. Do they have Uzumah, whatever his name is?
I'm not sure, but a name that I think that a lot of teams are still kind of keeping their eye on to see if he's going to be healthy is a guy like Delanie Walker. Still available. Yeah. I think that's a guy that you can kind of bring in, and if he stays healthy, that's great. I think he can produce still at a high level, but he's got to be able to stay on the football field, and that's the biggest issue. So, you know, I think that's a name to see. If Cincinnati really wants to put weapons around Joe, then I think that's a guy you definitely got to bring in on a cheap deal, even if it's, you know, a one-year deal.
As a whole, what grade, or I guess out of the top, would you give the Bengals a top five draft or top three?
You know, I like their draft, but I didn't love it. And like I said, I think they got their first four guys, but after that, I really would have liked to see them go, you know, after a lot of, you know, the big guys up front, especially. But, you know, they got some athletes, you know, especially Logan Wilson from Wyoming, great inside linebacker. Marcus Bailey from Purdue in the seventh round, I thought that was a great pick. But, you know, I don't think this team goes anywhere until you can protect Joe Burrow. And the fact that, you know, he had the number one offensive line in college football last year, and now he's going to go to this, you know, I don't know if that's going to end up as well as I think.
Give me a grade for the Bengals.
I'd give them probably a solid B. I'd give them a B.
I was going to give them a B+ or an A-, but I was right in that range. So you just mentioned it. We're going to go to the Bears draft now because I skipped them apparently. The Bears, first pick came in the second round. They got Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame, gave him another tight end. A lot of question marks with that pick. Some people still aren't sure. I know they have 10 tight ends on the active roster, but they're not going to have 10 tight ends come training camp. I can guarantee that. Jalen Johnson, I think he was a really good pick with their second one. And a lot of guys are giving him possibly – top two, top three cornerback in the draft, and they got him in the second round with the 18th pick. So I've watched the tape on him. He seems to be I think Kirk Herbstreit said that he's an interception waiting to happen. So I'm gonna give him some good credit. The guy that I'm really looking forward to, Darnell Mooney out of Tulane. They got him in the fifth round. I think he's gonna be a good weapon. I'm not sure what they're gonna do with the wide receiver situation right now, because I know Anthony Miller is the number two, but he has some drop issues and he has some anger issues along with it, because I know there's some stuff in the locker room that I think Anthony Miller doesn't really mesh with. But then they got rid of Taylor Gabriel, so I think Mooney can come in and compete for that third spot. What are your takeaways from my Bears?
You know, I thought they went after some key pieces they need. Obviously, corner was a huge issue. Got some late offensive linemen as well, kind of some diamond in the rough guys. But at the same time, good coaching, those guys, you know, can turn into anything they want to. But I think Cole Kmet, absolute home run, especially, you know, 11th pick in the second round. I thought that was great. Address a need for sure, because I don't think Trey Burton's turned into what he needed to be. And Jimmy Graham's getting older, so...
Yeah, well, the thing about I'm really looking forward to with a full commit is, if you think about it, years past, the tight ends that have been elite, the ones like let's say Zach Ertz and the Travis Kelce's, all those guys that are really good are also pretty good run blockers, and I've seen tape on Cole Kmet, and he can definitely block as a tight end spot. And I think he's going to give Jimmy Graham – I think Jimmy Graham's going to be the weapon over the top, but I think Cole Kmet will get the shallow routes. I think he'll be a really good run blocker for the offensive line. The offensive line is the part that the Bears really need to work on, and I think that they got a couple of the best names in the draft down there at the very bottom of the list, Arlington and Lucavius. But, I think the Bears filled a lot of voids what they needed with the few picks that they had, because they didn't have a pick until the second round. I'm happy with the draft. A lot of people are still questioning Cole Kmet because, like you said, Shaheen right now, I think he's on the trade block. They still got Jimmy Graham. They still have there was another name out there that I can't think of right now that has some playing time last year. So I'm fine with the draft. I think the management, I'm not sure what the direction in Chicago in general is, because I think the Bulls are moving management. The Bears, there's talk about possibly Matt Nagy being his last season, Ryan Pace's last season. So we'll see when it comes down to it. But I think the Bears filled a lot of voids. I would give them like a B minus to I'll give them a B minus for their draft. Just with the fact that they
have Jalen Johnson. I'm with you there. I just think this draft hurt the fact not having a first, traded a third, I believe, and a fifth, and a fourth. So, you know, no one, no three, and no four really kind of hurt. But then at the back end of the draft, I think they still got some really good names, especially, you know, like you said, Darnell Mooney there. But, you know, it's just going to be tough. The whole Mitch Trubisky question mark and everything going into the year should be interesting, bringing in Nick Foles too. So, you know, a lot of things can happen. But, you know, I think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are definitely, you know, in the very, very hot seat.
I would kind of hoping that I think he ended up signing undrafted with the Seahawks. I was kind of hoping they were going to give Anthony Gordon a shot. A lot of people don't know Anthony Gordon just because he's not really in a powerhouse school, but he was the quarterback from Washington State, which is quarterback university now because they had Gardner Minshew last year, Anthony Gordon this year. Yeah, they're air raids, so they obviously love to pass the ball. And last year I watched one game and Anthony Gordon, I think, had 7 or 8 touchdown passes against a decent defense. I can't remember who it was, but I was hoping the Bears were going to get him like late or get him as an unsigned free agent, but they or undrafted free agent, but they didn't do that. So they didn't get any quarterbacks, which I guess that's really showing that they're going to either go with Foles or Trubisky. So we'll see when it gets a little closer to fall. But another draft that I loved was the Brownies. They went out and got Jedrick Wills with their first pick. I think he's going to give Baker Mayfield a really – he's a big guy. Alabama, the offense, they had a down year. The defense had a big down year for Alabama last year. And then they went out and got Grant Delpit with their second draft pick. And then Jordan Elliott, I hate to say it, I'm an Illinois fan, so I hate saying Missouri players are good, but I watched him play a lot last year too in that SEC, and he's a big boy too. What do you think about the Browns?
I'd give them probably a B+. I thought it was a really good draft, honestly, for them. You know, go out 10th pick, you get arguably one of the better tackles in the whole draft, and then fourth round you get a tight end in Harrison Bryant that I think, you know, can really compete for some playing time right out of the gates.
Well, they do. Well, they right now they have Njoku and Hooper to go in front.
But I still think that, you know, he's enough. I mean, he won the award last year for the best tight end in the country for a reason. Not only that, you know, gotcha. I think that bringing in a guy like Hooper, who was banged up last year, you can see a lot more two tight end sets along with Jarvis Landry and with Odell Beckham Jr. on the outside. So I think they got a lot of flexibility and a ton of weapons right now for Baker Mayfield.
And Kareem Hunt last year was pretty – no one knew exactly what he was going to give him whenever he did come back from suspension, but he gave him another weapon too. And I loved Nick Chubb in fantasy numbers last year just because I knew that Hunt was going to be out most of the season. But Nick Chubb, even when Kareem Hunt came back, I think Chubb was really the runner or the short yard downs, and then Kareem Hunt was giving him a good weapon out of the backfield. So looking forward to the Browns. I would say a B plus or an A minus draft just because they got a lot of really good, a lot of defensive weapons that's kind of what they're lacking. But now we're going to go ahead and talk about the Jerry Jones boys, Kyle's team. We'll just let you take it away. Cowboys draft 2020.
I'm going to give them an A for this. Not quite an A+. I think there's a few other spots, especially I thought, you know, late taking the quarterback out of James Madison was a little questionable just because, and even now looking at it, you know, you get Andy Dalton as a free agent. You know, I think that kind of shores up the backup quarterback spot. But, you know, home run pick was CeeDee Lamb in the first round. I didn't see him, you know, falling to 17. I thought he would be gone by about 13 or 14. Then you get a great corner in Trevon Diggs and a big boy up front in Neville Gallimore in the first three rounds, and I was already stoked and ready for football to start again.
I knew CeeDee Lamb, there was no way that they were going to pass up on him just because he was there. He was the best talent at the time. I didn't think that they really needed another wide receiver just because they already had Gallup, they already had Cooper. I guess is CeeDee Lamb going to be the slot, or is Gallup going to be the slot, or what's going to happen?
Oh, you know, I think the thing that the Cowboys can do now is kind of move all three of them around and make, you know, a matchup nightmare for whoever they play against. You know, if you put Cooper in the slot, then most of the time you're going to be playing a nickel corner that, you know, doesn't play a whole lot. And, you know, his route running skill and ability and, you know, his break off the line, I think is going to just make him a lot more open and give him a lot more opportunities to have more than 75 catches a year. And a guy like CeeDee Lamb, you know, he's a tough guy to get to the ground. So as soon as he gets the ball in his hands, you know, the defense has to swarm him. So, you know, and then you have a deep threat like Michael Gallup who likes to go up and get the ball. So I think they have a nice mix on the outside for Dak Prescott. But, you know, really I was happy with the way the Cowboys address the defensive side of the football. You get a guy like Bradley and A in the fifth round, great defensive end, especially with Randy Gregory and Alden Smith's kind of career kind of up in the air right now. But, you know, I think they went out and addressed every need they needed. I'd say in the seventh round, I kind of hope that they'd try and find maybe a late tight end. We ended up signing one as an undrafted free agent. But same time, you know, we get Tyler Bidas out of Wisconsin, another Wisconsin center to fill in for Travis Frederick possibly this year. So, you know, we got two new corners, we got some defensive line help, and we went out and got arguably the best wide receiver in the draft. So,
CeeDee Lamb, like you're saying, CeeDee Lamb, tough to take down, and apparently it's also tough to take his cell phone from him as well. as his girl found out.
Before we learn, the hard way there on national television.
Yeah, that was a meme that a lot of people were talking about for days to come. The Broncos, before we do talk about the Broncos, do you think Dak Prescott this year, fantasy-wise, in a PPR league, is going to be a top-five quarterback in the NFL?
I don't see a reason why not. My only issue is if he doesn't get a long-term deal, does he hold out, and is Andy Dalton the starting quarterback week one for the Cowboys?
So if the holdout is over, you think he is a top five?
I can definitely see it. I think there's enough weapons in Dallas now that, you know, he's got a lot of guys to get the ball to. Not only that, you know, offensive line's basically all the way back except Travis Frederick, who retired. But, you know, throwing Joe Looney back in the mix, I think that this, you know, this offense is ready to go. And now it's all up to Dak Prescott to make it go, I feel like.
Yep. I'm curious to see what the Cowboys, like, I'm not sure who that division is going to, you got to think it's got to be the Cowboys or the Eagles, but I think Danny Dimes last year showed that he's going to be decent enough to, because they had a pretty good draft too, I think the Giants, didn't they?
Not bad. Not bad, that's for sure. We'll probably get into that a little bit more, and we can talk about the NFC East after the, you know, Eagles selections here, but should be a good division, should be fun to watch at the top. But, you know, really just looking at players all the way through, you know, I think the Cowboys have a ton of youth and a ton of guys that have already had a lot of playing time. And, you know, bringing in a new head coach like Mike McCarthy and, you know, defensive coordinator and Mike Nolan, I think it brings, you know, kind of some fresh air and some fresh life into this team. So I'm really excited. You know, hopefully football doesn't get delayed or anything, but I'm definitely looking forward to this year.
So the next team up, the Denver Broncos, the number one need for them was wide receiver, and they went out and got three of them in the draft, including probably the number one or number two, I would say, wide receiver out there, Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. A lot of people were kind of confused on Ruggs going before Jeudy, but Jeudy, I think, is the best route runner in the draft, and I think he's got the speed to give Drew Lock some weapons in Denver. They also went out and got KJ Hamler from Penn State, really good slot receiver that kind of undersized, but I think they went out and got what they needed out of this draft because Drew Lock needed some guys to throw to. It can't all be Cortland Sutton because last year teams were starting to double Cortland Sutton because him and Noah Fant seemed like those are the only kind of guys that at the end of the season that's all they had besides Deshaun Hamilton, but he was average. But they lost Emmanuel Sanders last year, so they went out and got a bunch of names. What's your takeaways from the Broncos draft?
This is another draft that I kind of fell in love with, but at the same time, they didn't address their biggest need, and that was tackle.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to block a second, you know, for a second-year quarterback. But, you know, I think going out and getting Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, the first two picks, that's just showing the rest of the division. You know, if the Chiefs want to be fast, then we're going to be fast on offense too. So, you know, I'm happy with their picks. I think that, you know, throwing Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, and Courtland Sutton all together. Not only that, you know, fourth round pick, Albert O, right here from Springfield, Illinois, Mizzou tight end. You know, he's right back with his college quarterback. I believe in 1 year they had 11 total touchdowns together. So, you know, I think that that's another great option for him. So I'm actually really excited to see this Broncos team next year. I think it comes down to if their offensive line is stout and sturdy, then, you know, I think it could be a really good year for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. Their needs were – their number two need was offensive tackle, and they went out and got a center with their third – or their fourth pick overall. So, little question – I guess questionable, and don't know for sure if it was just kind of the best talent there, so they had to get a center, maybe try to move another guy around into another tackle position. I'm not really sure what the thought process there was. But the next team, the Detroit Lions, they went out and got Jeff Okuda with the third overall. Probably the number, I would say, not probably, I would say he's the definite number one cornerback in this draft. They also went out and got DeAndre Swift with their second round draft pick. I think that's going to give them a lot of weapons. What are your takeaways from the Detroit Lions?
This is another one of those drafts I was really happy with, you know, the way they were going at the beginning. I think through their first, you know, four picks or five picks, I thought they hit everything they needed. You know, added running back depth, went and got a corner to make up for Darius Slay being gone, got an outside linebacker from Notre Dame that's great, went and got Jonah Jackson, a really good guard from Ohio State. Then you follow that up with another offensive guard. You know, you're really trying to block for a quarterback now. And, you know, you want to rebuild that defense. So I think Matt Patricia and those guys did a really good job. You know, I thought it was interesting that, you know, they weren't one of the teams to, you know, go out and maybe get a Jake Fromm or something to, you know, kind of fill a void here in the next few years. Because I don't know if Matt Stafford's going to be there forever.
I was just going to say, is Matthew Stafford, because, well, last year was the first year they really showed that he was kind of vulnerable, because there's been years he played in every game up until last year. I know he got injured midseason, and then they just had a bunch of they had a bunch of question marks when it comes to quarterback. So, I think that with the weapons with DeAndre Swift, because running back right there is a huge question mark for the Lions. I'm not sure exactly who they even have anymore, because they were really counting on.
Well, they have Kerryon Johnson still, but I still think
Kerryon Johnson.
You know, bringing in a guy like DeAndre Swift just gives you a whole nother dimension for a running back. You have, you know, Kerryon that you can really, you know, ground and pound with, but then you have another guy like DeAndre Swift that can also wear down defenses. So now you got two guys that, you know, you can kind of plug and play and let them do their thing. And, you know, I think they're both very good running backs for this league. And, you know, they're, nothing hurts, you know, adding depth, especially at the running back position.
I'm looking right here, their depth chart. They're number one right now. They have listed as Bo Scarborough from Alabama from a couple of years ago. And then Kerryon Johnson was the second, I guess, apparently, because I think he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of the year. And I think Bo Scarborough.
Ty Johnson.
Bo Scarborough got cut from the Cowboys at the end of training camp last year. And seeing him go there, he had a few good games, but that Detroit team just wasn't the same without Matt Stafford for, you know, 80%
David,
of the year.
David Blau was not the Matthew Stafford of years past. And then the next one, the Bears' big rivals, the Packers, probably the biggest question mark of the draft, with trading up in the draft to not only get a wide receiver, because everyone thought that the wide receiver was going to be for sure what they would get to give Aaron Rodgers some weapons, but they threw a complete curveball and drafted Jordan Love out of Utah State. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm not even going to lie to you. I think this is the worst draft out of anybody in the league this year. I really was not impressed. I don't think now is the time to really try and go out and find a replacement for Aaron Rodgers. I get how they did it, you know, before when they had Brett Favre, but I just don't think – I don't see the whole it from Jordan Love like everyone thinks he's going to be the next Pat Mahomes. So if he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong, but I just think that was a stretch. I think when you
they didn't get a wide receiver, so I don't. Besides Devontae Adams, who else do they even have?
No, they have Alan Lazard still, and what is it, Valdes-Scantling? But still, I mean, those aren't big name guys. You need to go and get a playmaker on the outside if you're going to trade up in the draft.
Yeah, and then with their next pick, they went out and got AJ Dillon from Boston College. People were still thinking that a wide receiver would be the kind of the pick that they go with, but did the running backs last year from the Packers not show you enough? Because I think their running game was one of their strongest things on the offense.
Aaron Jones was the MVP of every one of my fantasy football teams last year, so I don't understand that, especially Jamal Williams still coming back too. I guess you need three running backs in the league now.
Yeah, so I would say a big fat F
I'll give him a C minus. I mean, there are some good players in here. Got some offensive line help, you know, in the sixth round. Went after a guard, a center, and a tackle all in the sixth round. So, I mean, that's good. But like you said, no wide receiver, especially, you know, in the second round or even in the late first, they could have got a guy like KJ Hamler that's a speedster and, you know, kind of a Randall Cobb type player that would have fit perfect with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So, and I'm really not sure, you know, what they're going after bringing in a guy 4 years early, especially with, you know, Rodgers still on a deal for at least three more years. So it's interesting, a question mark, and, you know, I hope it works out for them in the long run, but it just seems like a draft that, you know, they didn't go after their real needs until the third round.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the Houston Texans only had 5 picks in the draft. They kind of the biggest question mark of the offseason would be training DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, a really banged up David Johnson. You don't know exactly what you're going to get out of David Johnson anymore. The Houston Texans could be in for a big downfall this year. Deshaun Watson, who's he going to have to throw to? Will Fuller has a lot of drops in his pass. He's a deep ball threat. He can take the top off the defense, but there's a lot of question marks. Is Kenny Stills going to be the guy to step up? I'm not sure. They went out and got Ross Blacklock from TCU with their second round draft pick, and then Jonathan Greenyard from Florida. They got, let's see, all their positions. I guess 3 of the positions were defense, 3 offense. What do you think of the Houston Texans? Are they next year, are they going to be a 10-6 team down to a 8-8 team, or do you think that they're going to continue to do well?
I think Deshaun Watson struggles next year without DeAndre Hopkins. Honestly, that's one of the worst trades I think I've ever seen in NFL history. But at the same time, you know, a guy like Ross Blacklock, good defensive tackle out of TCU. You get a linebacker like Greenard out of Florida. I think that they're good players, but it's just one of those. This whole draft is confusing to me. I mean, you get a running back, but at the same time, or, you know, you get your running back in David Johnson, but at the same time, you don't address the biggest need that you have now as a wide receiver. And, you know, if you're going to lose a big weapon like that, you think that you're going to go after a big weapon. And their draft confused me just like Green Bay's.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of move a little quicker. Unless, do you want to do the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think it's the halfway point. Do you want to wrap up at the Jaguars and do the rest sometime later this week? Or do you want to do them all today? Because we're at 45 minutes
right now. We can do the rest later. Yeah. I don't care.
We can we'll get to the Jaguars, and then we'll start with the Chiefs. We can start again here in the next couple of days. So the Colts, I think they had another good draft on the offensive side, especially. They went out, they got Jacob Eason with their 4th round draft pick, their 2nd round draft pick. They got Michael Pittman out of USC, one of the best wide receivers in this draft. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, kind of a question mark. I think a lot of running backs in the NFL these days have to be able to catch the ball. It's kind of a thing. I've seen a lot of drops out of him last year with Wisconsin. I'm not sure if he's going to be exactly the guy there with Marlon Mack still there. I think he's still there. Hines is still there, so I'm not sure exactly if he's going to be the guy there. But then they went out and got Julian Blackman from Utah, another good defensive player. What do you think about the Colts? Do they fill all the voids that you need? Philip Rivers is going to be their guy now, and I guess Brissett's going to be their backup, but Eason is going to give him a good third option, unless Brissett's gone. I can't remember.
No, Brissett's still there right now. I could see, you know, a mid-year trade for Brissett if a team has a quarterback go down or something. But I thought a really good draft. You know, you get a very good wide receiver early second round in Pittman Jr. out of USC. And then seven picks later, you get, you know, arguably the best running back that was in college football the last few years in Jonathan Taylor. And then you get your quarterback of the future in Jacob Eason. Plenty of time to sit behind a guy like Philip Rivers for, you know, one, maybe 2 years. And then he gets his shot. But I thought it was a good draft. I wanted to see him address the defensive line a little bit more and maybe, you know, another tight end or something like that to go with this Colts team. But, you know, I thought it was a good draft. I mean, I'll give him a B+.
They have three or two wide receivers, a quarterback, running back, really a mixture of everything. Really, the only things that they needed, I guess, that they left out were the defensive end and tight end. Those are the only things, because I think Ebron's out. I'm not sure who they have to replace him. But yeah, the Colts, I think they're last year went 7-9. I can see them with Phillip Rivers. I can see them going 8-8, maybe 9. I don't know. 8-8, 9-7 would be, I think 9-7 would be pushing it, but they're in another pretty solid division.
Well, too, you so. Know, with that sure. division, though, I mean, you have Jacksonville that I thought Jacksonville had a good draft, but I don't think that, you know, they really have their future behind Gardner Minshew. I almost feel like this is a tank mode to get Trevor Lawrence with the first pick next year. But then, I mean, if you look at that division outside of Tennessee, you know, Houston, I think, is taking a huge step back, and I think the Jags are taking a step back. So it's really between the Colts, you know, right now and the Titans. But, you know, outside of that, I think that they're still kind of a contender, but I am looking – that's more of a team for the future now that I think that they're starting to build. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm really excited to see, you know, all of these young guys, especially offensive weapons, with Jacob Eason here in the next few years. I think it could be a good team.
Well, let's just go ahead and talk about those Jaguars drafts, because they're the next team up. They filled all the voids that they needed here, according to ESPN. It's kind of hard not to with how many draft picks they had, because I'm looking right here. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 draft picks this year. So kind of hard not to fill all the positions. Their first pick, C.J. Henderson out of Florida. A lot of people are saying he could be the best cornerback possibly over Jeff Okuda. They say that he's kind of an interception waiting to happen. What do you think the – I guess they went out and got Colorado's – how do you pronounce it? Chenault? Yeah, so he's really the only wide receiver besides Colin Johnson from Texas they went out and got. I think the big question mark is Leonard Fournette going to be back in the Jacksonville team next year? If he isn't, who's going to be the guy there and as a running back? Gardner Minshew, at some point, you got to give him some weapons, because I think – is Keelan Cole gone too? They just got rid of someone the other day. I mean
they're gonna be hurt next year, but I do think they did the right thing, and you know, they went out and they're trying to reload on the defensive side of the football as well. You know, Kalavon Chasen at 20, that I still think that's a steal, and he would have been gone at 17 if CeeDee Lamb wasn't there to the Cowboys. I really do believe that. But you know, I think getting CJ Henderson and Kalavon Chasen in the first round was huge for them. But like I said, you know, with Gardner Minshew and limited options there, you know, I really see kind of a tank season coming out of these guys.
So what would you give their grade? I think that's kind of 11 picks is kind of hard to grade, but what would you say that they I would say they're probably close to
yeah,
a B or B+.
Yeah, I'll give them a B+, just because, you know, like you said, they have a ton of, you know, needs right now. You know, 6-10 last year doesn't really show the kind of up and down year that they had, you know. But at the same time, I think that, you know, the pick that I really liked was their fourth-round pick in Shaquille Quarterman out of Miami, inside linebacker. Absolute mm-hmm. ball hawk. And I'm looking forward to that, as well as Chenault out of Colorado. I thought, you know, him falling that far because he was hurt last year wasn't really fair, because I thought, you know, his first 3 years at Colorado were fantastic. So, you know, I'm excited to see the future of him, but I really, you know, I have a feeling that they might have the number one pick next year, just because I don't have all the faith in the world in Gardner Minshew right now.
It's crazy, because just 3 years ago they were a playoff team, and they were probably touted as the number one defense in the NFL because all their names that they had, and they were, this is when Ramsey was there, and this is when Ngakoue was, I think, is he gone? I'm not sure. No, he's trying to get out of Dodge, though. He's trying to. Gotcha. But yeah, this was number one. Do you remember a few years ago that when they had
their defense was absolutely stacked? I mean,
who was their quarterback back then? It was
Well, they had Bortles, didn't they? Bortles was kind of.
Oh, Bortles.
Obviously. Yeah, Bortles was shaky, yeah. But Allen at Robinson. The same time, you know, they had Allen Robinson and playmakers around them, as well as, you know, younger guys and a great defense. So,
I mean, they almost went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Didn't they get the Patriots around for the money?
I'm pretty sure they had a lead in that AFC like championship game or divisional game and just kind of blew it away. But I mean, they were right there, you know, really making noise. And ever since then, they've traded half the team away and cut everybody. So, I mean, it's tough to see, especially with a team like Jacksonville, that I feel like, you know, they've been so low for so many years, and then they had one good run, and now it's like they're blowing everything up and trying to restart over. But like I said, I think they got some really good pieces to, you know, start to rebuild, you know, from this year moving forward right now.
Yeah, I think that they are a couple of years, like you said, that could be tanking for Lawrence. I'm not sure if they're going to be what their route that they're going for is, but tomorrow or whenever we do this next, we'll start with the Super Bowl champions draft, the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we do head out, last night's two episodes of Last Dance. Was there anything that kind of? I know the first couple episodes was crazy to think about Scottie Pippen's salary, and then there was the Dennis Rodman, the 48 hours in Las Vegas. The next one, this whole documentary series is pretty. I love how ESPN has don't they have an edited version on ESPN2 where there's no cussing, and then ESPN showing the cussing. I love so far. I love how it's going over the past of the Bulls. They haven't really done a lot with the Last Dance at the 98 season too much. They kind of go back and forth and the past and the 98 team, and then they go back to the 91 team. But what do you think about this?
I think how it's been's awesome. I haven't been a huge fan of how they're, you know, going back and forth between the 98 year, then they go back to the 80s or 92 and stuff. But now I'm getting more and more used to it. I think it's been great. You know, it shows a side of MJ and his competitiveness that's crazy. You know, they brought out his whole gambling issue last night. I think next week we're going to see a lot more about his baseball and everything. But so far, you know, talking about the Pistons and the Dream Team, and, you know, they've covered things that I think a lot of people, you know, especially kind of in our age range and younger, didn't know about the 90s Bulls.
The cocaine circus.
You know, the cocaine circus that went through the lovely Peoria, Illinois. But, you know, I really do. I fully believe that, you know, everything that they've kind of depicted about Michael just shows that, you know, he was a guy that, you know, he liked to play golf and gamble, but at the same time, you know, when he had to show up for a big game, he showed up, and there was no question about that.
Yeah. I like how they're kind of, they're not really directing it exactly at one person every episode, but every episode has kind of, like, it's all about Michael, but then also each episode kind of has a person that they're kind of concentrating on, whether it's Horace Grant, whether it's John Paxson. I know they had one Phil Jackson episode. Last night's Kobe Bryant episode made me kind of tear up watching his interview, just knowing that what happened to him. It's just, it sucks, but, I would say ESPN so far, I don't know what the ratings have been, but the ratings have got to been, they got to be high. I know Netflix is showing.
Yeah, I think so far what I've seen, it's been, you know, amazing how they've depicted, you know, basically Michael as a young kid growing up and, you know, his struggles in high school, making the team, and then, you know, going to North Carolina and winning a national championship. And then, you know, his first years in the league, they weren't easy, but that Bulls team was horrible. And, you know, honestly, they didn't really get him any help until, you know, the 87 or 88 draft when they got Pippen. But, you know, as soon as they got a guy like Scotty traded, you know, with the Sonics to get him, but you get a guy like Scotty and Michael together and, you know, anything can happen from there. And then, you know, obviously the whole Pistons thing and him and Isaiah still hating each other, it sounds like today. But, you know, I think all of it's so interesting to see this, you know, 30 years later now, you know, where we can actually see, you know, what basketball back then looked like and, you know, how those guys played. And it's funny seeing, you know, people say, you know, guys in the league right now would dominate back then. And, You know, it's just a different era of basketball. I think that Michael still would be a very, 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 very good basketball player today, and especially with the drive that he had back then. You know, I think if anybody has a competitive drive like that, that you can succeed in, you know, the NBA today. But, you know, I think it's been fantastic and an absolute home run so far.
Before we do head out, I had a quick question. I saw LeBron versus the Bad Boy Pistons. Some guy, I saw a video today that he said this was the guy they were talking about, is Bill Laimbeer, and they were saying, this guy was saying, LeBron would drop 60 on this dude. There's no way that any one of these Pistons could keep up with LeBron. But the Pistons back then were known as the Bad Boys, and I think the NBA has changed a lot since then.
Like, no, it's funny that they say that about a guy like Laimbeer, because he didn't let anybody come into the paint easy. But the guy he had to go through first to get elbows in the back is Dennis Rodman. And, you know, Dennis has the same size as LeBron, and I think that that'd actually be a really good matchup one day.
And they've kind of – the Pistons have kind of kept that mentality throughout their whole – I mean, since I've been alive, because after that came Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace, and those guys were kind of –
that whole team was defensive studs. They were beasts. And that's the only reason that they won a title is the fact – you know, if they weren't hitting shots, they were getting on the other end, and they would make sure that they guarded and make sure, you know, it was going to be a tough bucket. So, yeah, I agree. It's funny to see, you know, the 1988, 89, and 90 Pistons, you know, I feel like they made the blueprint for the 04 team to go on to win a title too.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure when you'll be back. I'm down to do with this whenever, but we'll be back within the next couple of days to finish up the draft and then maybe talk about some other points. But until then, Kyle, do you have any last
words? Everybody stay safe and COVID-19 free.
COVID-19 free. I agree. So we'll be back, and until then, we'll talk to you guys later.